I've learned over the years from different types of exercise disciplines and different instructors, and kind of looking and taking all everybody's different type of methods and developing my own type of method of teaching and instructing. And like I said, the motivation is really that drives it is that I think everybody deserves to be fit.
Yeah.
And I think you got to reach them the best way possible is to reach them with stuff that's engaging and that they can succeed at.
You're listening to the Addicted to Fitness podcast, brought to you by Elemental Training Tampa. This episode comes from the earlier version of the podcast, known as the ETT Rap Show. Enjoy!
What's up, guys? As the lovely Shannon just mentioned, we're jumping in the Addicted to Fitness DeLorean, going back in time to give you a throwback episode this week. But before we get into this old school episode, I wanted to tell you guys about our sponsors, the Hemp Coffee Exchange. I'm actually drinking one of their beverages right now. They are an awesome company. I encourage you to go back and listen to actually episode 39 of Addicted to Fitness to hear our conversation with both Brett and Jeremy from the Hemp Coffee Exchange to hear more about their awesome products. But you can also go to hempcoffeeexchange.com, read up about it, and when you decide to buy some of their awesome coffee, please use the promo code ATF to save 20% on your order. All right, so this week, like I said, we're going back in time. We're actually going back to the very first podcast that I ever did. So this is the ETT Rap Show, episode 1. Please enjoy.
Welcome to the ETT Rap Podcast, the inaugural episode. I'm your host, Nick Birch, and with me is longtime ETT member and I guess a de facto co-host for this thing.
Yeah.
Tyler Knox.
What's up, buddy? Hey, man. How you doing?
I appreciate you doing this with me because I've been wanting to do a podcast for a long time. I really love the genre. I listen to them nonstop, really, and I definitely wanted to get it in for as another kind of branch, another way to deliver the ETT message to everybody.
No, I love it. I'm with you with the podcast idea. It's a great way to get people involved. People can listen to it whenever they want to. It's not like you have to call them up.
Yeah.
You know, this is a good way to get some more information.
Yeah, that's the beauty of podcasts. I mean, if you haven't listened to podcasts before, I highly recommend going to iTunes I don't know what the Android way of.
Check out Stitcher, yeah. SoundCloud.
Yes. So all those, just figure out how you can get it onto your phone and download it, and you can listen to it anytime, anywhere. That's the beauty of it. But for you guys that are mistakenly downloaded this, thinking it was a rap or hip hop type of podcast, I apologize. But for those who meant to download this and are still listening, I want to give you guys a little background more about ETT Rap Show. This is kind of a look back at the week that was in ETT. And for all those wondering what ETT is, it is Elemental Training Tampa, which is the personal training business I started back in 2014 and has evolved since then from kind of a weekend boot camp style training system into individualized personal training, at-home personal training with multiple different facets, trying to get into more nutrition advice for my clients, and really just generally trying to spread the good word of fitness to as much people that'll listen to me.
Yeah, no, for sure. Now, you said ETT Raps. Now, it's not R-A-P-S.
No.
It's W-R-A-P.
Yeah.
Is it Raps or Rap?
Rap.
Rap.
Sorry.
So, let's explain that a little bit. What's a rap?
Well, it's double entendre.
Yeah, let's hear it.
It's a wrap-up show, basically, kind of for the week that was in ETT. So we kind of go over a review of just what happened to us this week, you know, kind of give an overview of the training sessions we had this week, either with my clients or my personal training, which I still do, and anything else, any type of fitness or nutrition stuff I learned or heard this week that I like to relay to people.
Nice. And then a wrap is also
something you put on your hands to beat the shit out of someone.
Well, I mean, yes. Yeah, you can do a hand wraps too. But, like, I thought about a little bit more rapping, like we're rapping together.
Yeah,
like,
yeah.
Talking,
oh, okay.
You know?
Yeah,
you know,
okay.
Talking back and forth, you know. Maybe it's a triple
it's
on
a
time,
triple.
Apparently. Wow, I didn't even think
you
about that.
You didn't even think about the hand wraps.
Thank you.
Jeez.
Yeah, so, like, this week, I was talking to Tyler earlier. It was a whirlwind. I had all our personal training clients, all the ETT personal training clients actually made it to their sessions this week, which is great because, unfortunately, you know, people have their normal lives that they have. Things come up, and sometimes fitness and personal training has to take a backseat to those things. But everyone made their sessions this week, which is great. Even had a new client start this week.
And you're at full capacity now.
I'm at full capacity because I this is as much as I love this and this is my passion project. It is my in time wise, it's a part time passion project because even though it's a full time effort, it's part time in actual time commitment because I still work a 40-hour a week job.
Yeah, whereas, just trying to clean some lakes.
Yes, exactly. Know? That's how Tyler and I met. Luckily. It's like 50% of the ETT clients are coworkers of mine at my other occupation, my 9-to-5 job. So it's great because this is kind of where my passion lies now. You know, I went to school for science related, non fitness related education for 7 to 8 years. And you know, graduate degree, and then found out, you know, soon after my graduate degree that maybe science isn't quite my passion right now. But it's still, like I said,
it's a good background though.
Oh yeah, I enjoy it, but like I'm this fitness and nutrition and trying to help improve people's lives using those two things is kind of where my passion lies right now.
Good. That's fun. Well, I actually had some questions for you. Before we talk about kind of what we did today, or maybe even a little bit more in depth about what you did throughout this whole week, I kind of want to get the background of Nick. Like, where did your drive come from? Because every time I train with you, you're upbeat, you're very positive, you push me, but not in a way that's really annoying. And I've actually talked to Justin, who's another client of Nick's, about this aspect that you have. You're forceful enough, but not so much that I'm working out annoyed at you, and you're forceful enough to make me want to keep pushing myself and not just give up.
Mm-hmm.
So the way that you train is just, it's admirable, honestly.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. So where did you get your drive? Like,
well,
it couldn't have always been like this.
No, like I said, I've loved kind of fitness, being fit and exercise, and I've loved that. You know, I grew up really being outdoors, grew up on a farm, so being outdoors was kind of mandatory, you know. Even though, you know, I'm a kid of the 90s, you know, growing up in the 90s, Nintendo and all that kind of shenanigans.
Get some gaming in, man.
Yes, exactly, of course. But like I said, mainly outside was where we existed, and, you know, growing up on a farm and hunting and all kinds of stuff that's involved with that. And playing sports growing up. Both my parents were very into sports. I mean, my dad was a very, very good baseball player. He was a wrestler. My mom was actually played a little bit of community college soccer. So they were both very athletic. So athletics was a big part of our life growing up. And actually, I carried it on into college. Played a little club lacrosse in college. And college, kind of after college, I really kind of lost that outlet, that kind of that team sports outlet.
Because you went into the real world.
Yes.
And it wasn't just school, plus fun. It was more like up in the air, work, and then you lost a lot of structure.
Yeah. Like, and then the college, it kind of gives you those outlets for team sports or intramural sports or going to the school gym or whatever, anything like that. But when you're out, like you said, in the real world and 9-to-5 job, and then you go home, you're like, well, what am I going to do now? You know, you don't have those outlets anymore. And it took a while for me to find my passion, which, you know, what started the fitness obsession that I have now. I finally started training in martial arts, which is something I was been interested in for a long time. You know, I wrestled through high school, but I never got into martial arts. And I was specifically really liked MMA, UFC really was interesting to me. And I I guess it was probably about 6 or 7 months out of college when I was probably at my heaviest. I gained a lot of weight, that post-college weight, you know, from not eating right or exercising. I went into a gym that's actually right around the corner from your house, Amir's Academy,
yeah.
Which is literally, I mean, we could walk there from here. And started training there, you know, it was an MMA gym. And specifically really kind of concentrated on kickboxing, and which is something I'd never done. Really, I can't tell you how many kicks I've thrown in my life before I went there, but now it's something I love. But yeah, I started training there, and I got to see the style, you know, I got more fit and more, you know, more engaged and obsessed with being fit and working out. And even within like a year, I was competing in amateur kickboxing. And I think that the competition is something that really that drives my style of being fit myself. I always need competition to kind of motivate me. But I also, I've trained with people that don't compete who have the same drive.
Yeah.
Who are just as driven as me.
So they just get it from somewhere else.
Yeah. And for me, like I said, like competition is kind of my driving force, but I've learned over the years from different types of exercise disciplines and different instructors and kind of looking and taking all everybody's different type of methods and developing my own type of method of teaching and instructing. And like I said, the motivation is really that drives it is that I think everybody deserves to be fit.
Yeah.
And I think you got to reach them the best way possible is to reach them with stuff that's engaging and that they can succeed at.
Yeah, I thought you brought up a good point when you talked about, like your first time there, you hadn't thrown kicks, mm-hmm. you know, but right away you notice like probably week by week you're getting better and better and you're getting fit.
Mm-hmm.
And for me, the first 2 to 3 weeks, actually for most people, the first 2 to 3 weeks of beginning to work out again, like I haven't worked out with you in a while because we had the whole holiday break. I now work weekends sometimes, so luckily we got to work out today. But this was the first time back and I was winded after like 3 rounds. And it's devastating because I know what I used to have. But once you get past that 2 to 3 week window of kind of getting your stamina back, you start to feel amazing about yourself. And I think that's the hard part for people is they'll start working out and they'll see, oh man, I'm not that good at this. Why am I doing this? And if you can just push past that, I mean, do it for a month and you'll start to see improvements. And it's really hard not to compare yourself to other people, but like all you need to do is just compare yourself to what you were. And like every time you work out, just try to improve a little bit more. Mm-hmm. That's one of the best motivations is seeing yourself improve. It's like not worrying about what other people are doing.
Right.
Because I have a different body structure than other people. You know, I'm really tight. I don't flex well. My squats are bad.
Mm-hmm.
But when I've been working out with you, I just look at myself the week prior and I'm like, man, I can do a squat a little bit deeper this time. And I'm not huffing and puffing as much after 5 rounds as I was.
Mm-hmm.
So it's good to compare yourself to yourself, not to others. And that's, I find motivation in that.
Right.
Yeah. And like you said, you kind of thing you touched on there, consistency is the biggest thing.
Yeah.
You know, it doesn't, as long as you're working out and you've got some sort of fitness, you can keep that level, that cardio and your strength and your flexibility. If you can keep that, you know, at kind of a working level, then you can stay consistent. And that's really the goal. Like I said, you don't want to fall off. Like I said, I know everything comes up. Holidays, like you said, holidays came in between us working out. But I want to try to offer, and that's what the thing with Elemental Training Tampa, I try to make it more of a support system than just, you know, hey, I'm your trainer coming over once a week or twice a week. I want you to kind of get the outlets we have, whether it be Facebook, Instagram, Twitter. I want the kind of those to be motivation for you to say, hey, this is what, you know, Nick did with this person today. You know, I can do that too. You know, and I want to inspire people to work out even when I'm not there. You know, yeah. I want to inspire people to go check out other gyms, not, you know, just me. You know, I think fitness is a key thing that improving people's lives. And that's what I think, trying to inspire people and get them into the habit of making fitness priorities, one of my main goals.
Yeah, I think the one thing that you do really well with it too, is we kind of touched on this a little bit earlier. We talked about a normal gym. When you go to that normal gym, if you're by yourself, you just get in this routine where you're bored. And when you're bored going to work out, you're not going to want to go and work out. You're going to find an excuse in the morning. I'm tired. My leg hurts a little bit. But when you know that you're coming over, it's like, oh, okay, he's going to come. I got to be doing my best or else he's going to push me harder. You know, that's what a trainer should do. But yeah, having that person that's relying on you to do what you're supposed to do really makes me want to continue to work out. I wanted to talk about how working out as you continue to work out, like you're saying, stay consistent.
Yeah.
It's almost like, it's a positive feedback loop. Every day you're getting better and it's getting easier. The second you start to drop off, you've just knocked yourself down the ladder again. You got to climb back up a few rungs again and it just gets tougher. So yeah, the consistency, man. If you're able to maintain, you feel so much better about yourself. And like the second you start slacking off, for me, mentally, I'm just like, oh, I'm such a jerk. Why am I doing this to myself? Like, yeah, and it just eats away at you.
Yeah, and that talk about something that unmotivates you is beating yourself up.
Yeah.
Especially if you fall off the routine and then you tell yourself, gosh, I wish I should have worked out. It's just like you said, it's a negative feedback loop. You keep going down that rabbit hole of, oh, I'm not good enough. Why am I even working out, period?
Yeah.
And then you've gone weeks without working out and then you stop caring. Like, I think, I've heard people say, I think it's 21, 25 days to do something, to make something a habit.
Something like
you
that.
In that range. And if you consistent, like me, like I took a different approach. I had to have the motivation of, that's why the kickboxing gym, it's an extreme approach and I don't really recommend it for everybody, but I didn't want to get punched and kicked in the head.
Yeah,
you know,
that's a good motivator.
Exactly. So I had to learn the techniques and I learned them at a fast rate for me. Because I came from kind of zero to, you know, competing within a year. And even though it was amateur, you know, you still had to, you know, have a basic understanding of the basic, you know, the foundation techniques. And it was basically, you know, it was fight or flight kind of thing. You know, I had that motivation of, hey, I have this competition going up where I'm going to get in the ring and fight somebody I don't know. I was like, I better be at the gym every week. You know, a couple hours at a time.
Because he might be pushing it harder than you.
Yeah, and that is the biggest motivator. I think Mike Tyson thinks, you know, I've heard him speak about, you know, why he was trained so hard is because he said, if I wake up earlier than my opponent, then that's about an hour more exercise and training I have over him. Like he said, if he's waking up at 5 a.m., I'm waking up at 4 a.m. to run. Because he's like, I want that extra bit to beat him in the ring.
Yeah.
So, and that's the thing. It's like, it's just, I think fear, I mean, it's weird to say, but fear is the best motivator.
It really is.
You know?
It is.
And that's why I fear of being out of shape is my motivator.
Yeah. Or even the drastic fear of getting punched in the face.
Yeah.
That's a motivator for sure.
Yeah. Luckily, I don't have to, that's not a motivator for me anymore.
Yeah.
I kind of left that behind, but it was a great way to learn that, hey, you know, it's, you gotta get while the getting's good, you know? Yeah. So,
Nick, I feel like there's two sides of this coin though. We're talking about fitness, but the other thing is eating healthy and nutrition. And I know you've been doing a lot of research on that. You took some classes on that?
Yeah, I'm taking a class right now. It's offered through the same certification body that I got my personal training certification, NASM, National Academy of Sports Medicine. They offer, it's called Fitness Nutrition Specialization. So I think it's about a 6-month course of, you know, online, you know, just reading and testing and stuff. And then I take a test at the end. So it's good information, and like I said, it's some good basic stuff. It's a little bit outdated, which is unfortunate, but I'm a little bit disappointed in. It looks like the last time it was modified was 2011. which, in far as research goes, and somebody like
science,
you know, you're in the science field, and that's almost decades compared. I mean, it's only 5 years ago, but as far as research goes, that could might as well be decades. So, and I mean, it's the nutrition information that's coming out now is just unbelievable. How much you hear so many different contradicting reports.
I know.
I mean, it was,
it's like, which one do you believe?
Yeah, it's tough. Hard. It's hard to know. And then the more scandalous headlines, the more, you know, things that grab the eye are going to be on the headlines. And I know the one about the, I think the World Health Organization posted probably about 3 or 4 months ago about how, you know, processed meats is now a carcinogenic or is now most likely to be a carcinogenic.
Now, did you see the percentages?
Yes. It was very, very extremely low.
Yeah.
You know, if you read the press release, which I would suggest everyone do, even the World Health Organization, you know, that they did a good job of, I follow them on Twitter, about explaining what their findings. And it was really good, but it was like, I think it was, if you have, I think they equivalated, that's not even a word.
That's a good word, though.
Yeah.
Let's use it.
There we go. Equivalent of 2 pieces of bacon per day.
Okay.
You increase your rates for colorectal cancer by 16%.
Is it 16%?
That's what I remember. That's one stat I remember.
Okay. I thought I remember a stat on there that was like, you know, normal people, if you're not eating a lot of processed meat, you have a 5% chance. And then when you eat a certain amount more, like every day you're eating some sort of processed meat, it goes up from 5% to 6% chance.
Okay.
It wasn't significant, but I mean,
right.
You know, that still increases your chances,
right.
But
yeah,
it's definitely that headline that was drawing everyone in.
Of course, like I said, that's what news companies try to do. They try to give eyeballs on their media outlet. So it's I understand, but like I said, it's you definitely want to read through that because they definitely even say in the report, it's, you know, red meat has, you know, benefits if you eat it. So I think, you know, you kind of have to take make your own decision.
Would you be a proponent of everything in moderation? What do you think?
Yes. I mean, it's that's the way I like to. I eat everything. Like I said, I do not discriminate. I eat every type of meat there is, every type of vegetable there is, fruit, vegetables. You know, I try to stay away from anything processed. Because usually when it's processed, it usually has more artificial ingredients, we're still learning more about the effects on the health they have.
And it's harder for your body to break it down.
Exactly. And it's harder for that. And the insulin response is what the hormone response to certain foods is what I'm learning is really the key to losing weight.
Okay.
I don't want to get too specific into it because I'm still kind of learning about it. But especially foods that have a lot of sugar. You know, generally sugary food or grains, you know, foods like bread, pasta, usually get a high insulin response to them. And that kind of stuff that's the kind of stuff that will get stored in your body as fat if you don't use that.
Mm-hmm.
Use the sugar to, you know, kind of fuel your body.
Yeah, now, that's one thing that I've tried to cut out is a lot of the processed pastas and grains.
Mm-hmm.
And now when I do eat bread, I'm using the sprouted grains.
Yeah,
you know,
that's good.
Ezekiel bread.
Yeah.
It's good stuff.
Yeah, it's hard. Like I said, I don't give people too much nutrition advice because I'm still learning myself. All the type of advice I want to give them is stuff I've used on my own personally, or I've seen people I know close use. And what I've seen, if you're looking to lose weight, I think it is, what I've seen, the best type of diet is a low-carb diet. You know, stuff in that you kind of eliminate spreads and pastas and stuff we already mentioned, and you try to cut down on the amount of sugar that you're taking into your routes. Because that's carbohydrates. Carbohydrates are usually your sugars.
Yeah.
So, like I said, I mean, fruits and vegetables have carbohydrates in them. The sugar that's in fruits and vegetables, even though they're natural, it's still sugar. So, I mean, if you eat a ton of, you can still be fat if you eat 20 bananas a day.
For sure.
You can.
For sure. Now, Nick, I just thought of this. You post a lot of videos of the workouts you do with your clients,
mm-hmm.
workouts you do personally. I want to see more pictures of your food.
Okay.
You know what I mean? Because when we look at you, we see, oh, yeah, he works out hard. But no one ever notices or really thinks about that eating healthy is extremely important. It's that other side of the coin that we're talking about. So it'd be nice. Well, I've seen you eat. I know you eat. Mm-hmm. Your lunch was always like a kale salad, some chicken. And you even told me, you're like, I just eat it for nutrition, man. You're not even. So I think that's another cool aspect that maybe some people don't know about. They might just think, oh, I'll just keep eating the way I am, and all I need to do is work out. But it's kind of both things need to really happen.
Well, and it's actually, if your main concern is losing weight, it's nutrition is the utmost importance. Like I said, I've heard a lot of, I've listened to a lot of other podcasts and try to read and audiobooks about nutrition, and the way to lose weight is proper nutrition. Like I said, you cannot work yourself work out enough to lose weight. It helps, it stimulates your metabolism, it'll increase your metabolism, but imagine just a workout we did today, it's probably, we burned maybe 500 calories.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, with your resting metabolic rates, how many calories you burn during the day, you're probably, today would burn probably about 2,500 calories total. And I mean, I think you can, I'm sure you can eat that. Easy.
I could probably eat that in a meal.
Yeah, exactly. If you eat 2,500 calories today, right on, like right there, and that's kind of a range we're estimating, you'll use up all the extra, you know, fat and all the, you know, macronutrients, fat, protein, carbohydrates in to keep yourself satiated, so you won't have any extra of that, anything extra stored as fat. But people don't exercise, you know, their metabolic rates are extremely low because they're not active. So when they eat more than their resting metabolic rate, that's how they get stored as fat.
Yeah.
So the key is to eat the right things, and it's an equation that is hard to figure out, like I said. But the most successes I've seen is people who eat lots of vegetables, a good amount of fruits, not too much fruit because it does have sugar even though it's natural in it, and lean proteins. Even if, you know, because I know people shouldn't eat meat. Some people are opposed to eating meat, but there are some things you can supplement for if you're a vegetarian.
Well, and quinoa.
Yeah, quinoa, yes. Even though, I mean, like I said, there's things like that that are grains that you got to kind of be moderate about because they can have a high glycemic response. And, mm-hmm. and, you know, those are the things that usually get stored as fat because your body doesn't use it up. And like I said, it's I'm still learning, and so I'm probably saying stuff that's maybe a little bit not, you know, 100% true today, but like I said, it's if I had to recommend a diet, it's vegetables, fruits, lean proteins, and a lot of, now I'm trying to incorporate more good fats in my diet. They're coming in with a lot of research about how fat, they say fat is back because...
Fat's back!
Yeah, exactly, you know. They're finding out how important it is to brain function and general, you know, overall health is how, you know, people, it kind of got demonized, I think, in the 80s and 90s for heart disease, but they're kind of coming out with good research that it's actually beneficial to your body.
But like you said earlier, you could find it online somewhere that it's saying it's not good for your body.
Yes, yeah.
You're going to see opposing stories all the time.
Absolutely. You got it. And
that's the hard part.
Yes. And like I said, someone like you knows about research. There's different types of basically variations, or I should say different types of research that some make the research better and some a little bit weaker. And I don't want to get in too many like specific terms, but you kind of got to differentiate how the research was done. If they did clinical trials, if they use kind of like control groups and experimental groups, or if they just looked at general populations and say, hey, all these people have this in common, then that means this is the cause. Because I think that's what a lot of that World Health Organization, the Process Meats headline, of what I understand, they did population studies and basically associated cancer with what they ate. Yeah. And then they saw that, hey, it's higher in rates of people that eat, you know, more processed meats.
Yeah, and there are people that their profession is to make things statistically significant.
Yeah.
In some way. So people need to watch out for that,
right,
for sure.
Yeah. I think the research methods are a big thing that people are too, if they look at any type of nutrition data, they got to really kind of look into. And that's an education itself, finding out what type of research is really strong science and which is a little bit weaker. So that's something that's, it's hard. That's why I try to do it and relay it to people, because I have a little bit of background in science, so I can actually relay it to people and hopefully, you know, give them a little bit more, a better understanding about the nutrition equation or enigma that's out there.
Yeah, yeah. So what's, this podcast is sponsored by someone, right?
Yeah, we are just sipping on some local coffee here.
From the Hemp Coffee Exchange from right here in Tampa, Florida.
Thank you guys for fueling us. One thing, I don't have too many vices. I'm pretty moderate on everything, but coffee, I'm an addict.
You're a fiend. You just told me that you had a quadruple shot yesterday.
I had a quadruple latte yesterday after work around 3:30, and I felt I drank it, and an hour later, I felt I could go to sleep. So I think I kind of broke the caffeine levels in my body somehow. I've been drinking coffee for a long time, which I don't know if it's a good thing or a bad thing. You know, everybody says I've heard a lot of benefits about coffee, but if you've been drinking it since, I think it was 9 or 10.
Are you serious?
Yeah, I started drinking it. Luckily, I know we're drinking lattes today, but normally I drink it black or add a little coconut oil to mine.
Ooh.
Yeah.
You ever do some butter coffee?
I used to. It's a little bit too much for me.
It's a little rich, right?
Yeah,
how you put some pounds on.
Yeah,
though.
For anybody who's curious, you know, talking about putting butter in coffee, there's actually kind of a trend that started, a few years ago called Bulletproof Coffee. And the recipe is actually, I think I actually looked it up, it's 8 to 12 ounces of coffee, 1 to 2 tablespoons of coconut oil, okay, and 1 to 2 tablespoons of grass-fed butter.
That's a lot.
And then put it in a blender and blend it up.
That's a lot of butter.
It's a lot of butter. If you guys think about the stick you buy at the grocery store, that's 8 tablespoons. So a quarter of that into a cup of coffee.
That's disgusting.
Now, well, like I said, when I was reading the recipe, they were like, obviously you start with a little bit and you want to build up. And the idea is that the healthy fats that are both in the butter and the coffee or can help fuel you through the day, which is actually another nutrition topic I think we could probably get into on a later podcast about a fat diet, you know, running on fat opposed to carbohydrates.
Yeah.
So I don't want to go too far into that because then we'll be here all day.
Yeah, that's true. That's true.
And I'll be rambling, probably saying misinformation. So I don't want to miseducate anybody out there. So
I think we gave some good stuff.
Yeah, like I said, I know we got way more we can talk about, but like I said, we don't want to bore anybody too much. And if you're still listening, I really appreciate you and thank you guys. And hopefully, you know, we're going to try to get this out on a week-to-week basis.
That'd
so
be
we
nice.
Can really keep you guys up to date about this, the ETT business in itself. It's kind of like similar to a podcast, a startup podcast. You ever heard of that?
No.
It's a podcast called Startup, and I forgot the guy's name, but he's a very successful investor. And basically the podcast is kind of a review about his startup business, how he started this business. I can't remember what it exactly is about, but it's really good. And this is kind of we have some similarities here because we're kind of talking about a brand new business and the ETT business, which is, you know, we're always growing. That's my goal. I'm never going to be done growing and getting better. So that's you guys will come along with us for that journey, hopefully.
So Nick keeps saying a collective we're growing. I just want you to know I'm a client. I'm not an owner. I'm just a big supporter of ETT. So yeah. I'm podcast co-host right now.
Exactly. Right, yeah. So. Right now. Yeah. If this thing blows up, then I'll get somebody better. But you know. For right now, you are the de facto co-host.
Good. That's the way I want it.
Yeah. Well, thanks, you guys, for once again tuning in to the inaugural episode of the ETT Wrap Show. We'll be back next week with some more information about ETT and what we accomplish in the following week, the week to follow.
Keep those wrists wrapped. That's a hard thing to say.
Thanks, guys.
Thank you. See ya.
If you want to learn more about Elemental Training Tampa, check us out on Facebook or go to our website, elementaltampa.com. You can also follow us on Instagram and Twitter under the handle ETTampa. Please rate and review the podcast. Your feedback will help us get better. Thanks.
Shot. Here we go.
Number one. Number one.
Three, two, one.